Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS, DGen Nation, what is up? What is happening? Back again for another week. We are on to the NFL playoffs. Some of the best time of the year. Some of the most profitable time of the year, for that matter, as well. This slate this weekend is something. It's not definitely not as bad as last week, but it could have been better had we, you know, didn't have a couple injuries to the quarterbacks, like Tua Tagovailoa, who's going to be out with a concussion. And Lamar Jackson looks very doubtful. So those two games don't look as good as what they could have been. But overall, I still think there's some definite spots to get to on this slate. We are going to be covering the full Saturday through Monday slate. So I was actually surprised. We've been talking about this, that surprised they included the Monday, not made that an island game for the showdown slate. But here we are. So we get more action on this slate. So, you know, let's dive right into it, shall we?
Yes, sir.
So at the quarterback position, we have Josh Allen at 7,900. Already seeing that DraftKings decided to neuter this slate a little bit and make it a little bit more fun for the casuals. But I digress. We have Joe Burrow at 6,900. Justin Herbert at 66. Dak Prescott at 6K. And then Kirk Cousins, Tom Brady, Trevor Lawrence at 5,700. Geno Smith, Daniel Jones, Brock Purdy. And the possibility of Teddy Bridgewater and Tyler Huntley at 5K. So, Maddie, we were talking pre-show, and I'm just going to get it out of the way. My favorite quarterback on this slate is Daniel Jones. I think that without Josh Allen on this slate, I just don't think Miami is going to do a whole lot to be able to push him. I think Daniel Jones' point per dollar can match Josh Allen on a week-to-week basis. If you look at Daniel Jones over the past six games, he actually leads all quarterbacks on this slate in rushing yards with 270. He has the same amount of touchdowns. He actually has more passing yards than Josh Allen. Now, there's a caveat to that because obviously there's one less game in there because of the missed game there. But still, it's almost 300 passing yards. So roughly, he's right on track with him. And yes, Daniel Jones can be a little boom or bust, but he still has a high ceiling. The last game he played in, he scored 36. The game before that against Minnesota, he put up 25 DK points. And if you can get 25 to 30 DK points from him against Minnesota, I think he is at 5,600. It makes him an elite play on this slate against a defense that is truly dreadful against the pass. They are 31st in pass DVOA on the year. Over the last four games, they are 25th in pass DVOA and 28th in rush DVOA. And his ability to run the football makes him such a good play. So I love Daniel Jones on this slate. I'm going to have a ton of Daniel Jones. I think you can stack him with Darius Slayton. You can stack him with Isaiah Hodgins. You can stack him with Richie James. Yes, those aren't sexy names, I understand. But there's still a lot of upside here. And also because of his rushing ability here on this slate. So that is going to be the quarterback that I absolutely love on this slate.
Yeah, it's kind of scary that I'm right there with you. You never want to be on a chalk Daniel Jones, but I feel like that's where the train is headed for this weekend. But I agree with everything you said. I mean, you look at the ceilings for the quarterbacks that are on this slate, and I mean, Josh Allen's probably the only one that can absolutely go nuclear here. I don't know with the QB situation for Baltimore. I don't know that they will be able to push the Bengals enough. And granted, the Bengals can go out there and win 41-6, and Joe Burrow throws for five touchdowns and 400 yards. Like, that's definitely possible, but we've already seen, you know, Burrow play Baltimore twice this year. He hasn't nuked the slate either time. And I know one of those times, I think he was missing T. Higgins, but still, the Ravens defense has been, you know, better as the year's gone on. The game feels gross, and Vegas agrees. They've got it at that's the lowest total on the slate. It's a 40.5. So we've got Seahawks Niners at 42, Chargers Jags 47.5, Dolphins Bills 43.5 with a big spread of almost 14 points. Giants Vikes have the highest total of the week at 48. Ravens Bengals lowest of the week at 40.5, and Cowboys Bucks at 45.5. So, I mean, it's Jags and Chargers and Minnesota and the Giants that have the two highest totals of the week. And you've got Dallas and Tampa Bay barely trailing those. And I do think the Tampa Bay pass game is really interesting. Dallas over the last few weeks, they've had some big injuries in their secondary. So, you know, we saw Trevor Lawrence absolutely pick them apart. And so they scored 40 points against them. You know, they just lost to a Sam Howell led Commanders team that was able to, you know, have success throwing the ball through the air. So it's a really good spot for Brady too. I just, with Jones's rushing upside and Jones being, you know, that same price, I just don't know that I can get to Brady over Jones. I'll probably end up playing a Tampa Bay receiver like Chris Godwin or Mike Evans, but I'm not sure I'm going to end up stacking Tom Brady, but I do think Tampa Bay is very interesting as well. That game could shoot out, could be the shootout of the week. Cause Kev, like I mentioned pre-show, you look at the Chargers game logs and throughout the whole year, the Chargers games just never nuke a slate. Every single time you get to the end of a game, it's like 24 to 21, 28 to 24, 20 to 17, 23 to 20. Even when they played the Chiefs, it was 27-24. And, you know, I'd project the Chiefs and Chargers to go for way more points than the Chargers and Jags. So, I think the Chargers and Jags are going to end up having a lot of ownership from the past games. And I think it's a great game where you can attack running backs from. So I'm looking at probably Daniel Jones. And then I agree with Derek. I mean, you can absolutely go Dak or Brady and load up that last game hammer. And that game, I think that game could end up 35 to 30, 31 or, you know, something crazy like that. Because Dallas has been arguably the best offense outside of last week, arguably the best offense in the NFL. I mean, they've scored pretty much 25 plus points every single week. And their defense is starting to deal with injuries to where the other teams have been, you know, pushing them as well. So that game has all the makings of a shootout. And Brady looked as good as he has all year when he played that game against Carolina. And that's the last thing you need is Tom Brady to, you know, get hot heading into the playoffs. So I've said it all year. I don't think Brady's washed yet. I think it's just been a matter of, you know, miscommunication and just they've just been off. And if they're on, I mean, it's scary. Tampa Bay can make a run here.
Oh, 100%. And that's the other game that I do really like, but I do like the Brady side as well. He's 5,800 here on this slate. And like you mentioned, the Dallas Cowboys defense has really kind of fallen apart. I mean, we even saw Houston put up a ton of points against them as well. And so they have really struggled as of late over the last four games. Yeah. They're 21st in pass DVOA.
When Davis Mills and Sam Howell are putting up points against you and Trevor Lawrence is hanging a 40 burger on you, there's something wrong with your defense.
Yeah. And so Tom Brady can definitely can go off. And, you know, you have Mike Evans who's sitting here at 6,900. And it's weird that Chris Godwin has somehow dropped below Mike Evans here. He's 6,400. Which I guess you'll probably see more people on Chris Godwin because he's going to be the cheaper option. Chris Godwin has been very much the underneath target for Tom Brady. He has not really utilized him down the field. He has just been peppered, though, with targets. And it's all short and intermediate route stuff with him. And so I do think that, you know, his pass catchers there. You could also go playoff Lenny, who is always a thing as well. And
Cowboys Rundy has been an issue as well.
Yeah, and I mean playoff Lenny is somehow $5,300, so I mean you could definitely stack him there. He's heavily utilized in the passing game. So I think Brady and Daniel Jones, I agree though, those are the two quarterbacks that I do like the most. And then if I'm going to pick off the other, you know, I do think the Jacksonville game I think has some sneaky some upside as well. it's just been frustrating with Justin Herbert because, especially as of late, we've been seeing a lot of them, as soon as they get down inside the red zone, they just run the football and pound it in. And Justin Herbert's just not getting a whole lot of pass, passing touchdowns because of it. And one thing that's going to be an issue here is that Brandon Staley, Mr. Fake Sharp himself, should be fucking fired already. He should have been fired before the game even started by playing his starters in an absolutely meaningless game and somehow getting Mike Williams hurt, who I don't think he's going to play. It's possible he could. It's a back injury that he's suffered in the past. I mean, he's had back problems going all the way back to college where he had back and neck problems all the way back in that time. But there was zero reason for these dudes to be out there playing. They were playing for nothing. And his response to why he did it was even worse. I don't get it. Sit Justin Herbert. Sit Austin Eckler. Sit Mike Williams. Sit Keenan Allen. You don't play these guys in a meaningless game. And what happens? One of them gets hurt. And all it does is hurt this passing offense, because this offense started to come alive a little bit once he finally got all of his pass catchers back. Well, now you're back out without no Mike out. Likely no Mike Williams. And so that does hurt the upside here of Justin Herbert. But I still think this game has enough to entice me to want to play it. Jacksonville has been 18th in pass DVOA, but number 3 in rush DVOA over the last 6 games. So they've been really good against the opposing run. And I will say this, and maybe I can say this for when we get to I'll say that before we get over running back. Is there any other quarterbacks you want to hit on? You can play Josh Allen. It worries me that they're not, that if it's Skylar Thompson, that what do they really need to do to be able to beat the Dolphins? I feel like they can crush them. They're probably not going to run the ball as much, especially with Josh Allen kind of dealing with some nagging injuries that he's been dealing with. And I just don't think they're going to have to do a whole lot. And so, yes, he can go out and get 30. It's definitely possible. But I think it's also possible that if it is Skylar Thompson, that they just run the ball, they play very conservative, get through the game, and get ready for next week in the rematch. That is going to be something everybody's going to talk about next week, of the Bengals and the Bills.
Yeah, I'm going to be really excited for next weekend. But yeah, I agree. Just touch on the Jags really quick. They have played some shitty offenses over the last couple of weeks outside of Dallas. So I wouldn't, look into too much their stats versus running backs. It's been like Houston and Indy without Jonathan Taylor and some really bad teams that they just gave up 100 plus and I think a touchdown to Derrick Henry last week. So, but it is worth noting that that every single team that's playing this weekend has played the opponent that they're playing already once this year at minimum. So we do have some sort of a baseline for an approach that teams have taken. And if you look at the Chargers when they played Jacksonville, they threw the ball 45 plus times and they only ran it 12. So they definitely skewed pass heavy in that game. So even though, Jacksonville defense, you can run on them a little bit. I think if you're playing Eckler, you're playing him for his pass catching role, which, I guess this can be a good segue to running backs because I don't have any other quarterbacks to hit on, but you'd be playing him for his pass catching role anyways. He caught 8 passes in that game earlier this year. And the running back on the other side of that game, Travis Etienne, James Robinson lit up the Chargers for 100 yards and a touchdown on only 17 carries. And now James Robinson's not even the fourth best running back on the New York Jets. So that tells you, how successful this Jags rush offense can be. And we've seen Etienne look like the Etienne from Clemson over the last couple of weeks with his explosive ability. So I really like both running backs from that game. And I'm expecting the passing attacks to be popular with the quarterbacks that, they've had success this year. But I just think, the running backs make a ton of sense from that game and get my QBs from one of the later games, whether it's, Minnesota and the Giants or Dallas and Tampa. But yeah, I there's not a whole other running backs that I love, honestly, outside of Etienne. You can definitely sell me on Fournette. I don't think Rashad White definitely hasn't earned, a huge role. And we know Fournette has been a thing in the playoffs for them over the past 2 years. And I feel like Fournette has posted to his socials about being playoff Lenny last year or something. So it's like a thing that he embraces, you know, he takes pride in it. So he's definitely in play. There is an injury. I know we, you know, have kind of scratched off Miami, you know, from a quarterback standpoint, but Raheem Mostert, definitely, it sounds like he's dealing with a severe finger, whether it's a thumb or finger issue. I think it's a thumb. And, you know, this could be a Jeff Wilson game. We've seen Jeff Wilson get, you know, 7+ targets in games with Miami. So I wouldn't just write off Jeff Wilson right away, because he's going to be on the field pretty much every snap. And he's going to be involved in that pass game as well, especially considering they're going to be trailing. So, you know, even if Miami doesn't score, I mean, Jeff Wilson can easily catch 6 dump offs for 40 or 50 yards. And you're looking at, you know, 10 or 11 points right there without even any rushing ability. And all of a sudden he falls into one, the only touchdown that Miami scores, and you're looking at 20 DK points. So, yeah, I would not, definitely not write off Jeff Wilson this week. But yeah, I think ETN and Eckler are probably at the top of my list. I don't think I'm going to play CMC because Elijah Mitchell's back and they really want to involve him, especially down at the goal line. Like, Elijah Mitchell is a thing. We saw him score 2 touchdowns last week. Sign me up for the CMC games when San Francisco is not going to beat the crap out of whoever they're playing. And that will probably be next week.
So one thing that I want to mention with Austin Eckler is, since Keenan Allen, and this is what I was going to get to, since Keenan Allen has come back, we have seen a much more neutered passing game production from Austin Eckler. If you look, he basically, since he's come back, over his last 4 games, he's had 3 targets, 4 targets, 4 targets, and 4 targets. The pass catching work hasn't been there for them. For him. Now, I'm not saying that you know, he can't, you know, be a guy who gets 10+ targets, but it certainly hasn't been there for him lately. And so it becomes a little bit more touchdown dependent on that.
The one counter argument, now no Mike Williams.
True. Yeah. But I mean, they still have Josh Palmer and they still have some of these other options. But yeah. Yes.
And I do. Mike and Williams, we'll talk about Palmer when we get to receivers, because he'll probably slot mainly into the Mike Williams role, which we saw him do earlier this year when Mike Williams was out. But yeah, I definitely agree. With both Keenan and Mike Williams on the field, Eckler is definitely taking a massive hit. But I will counter argue that one of the two will likely be out this week, and that would be Mike Williams. And so I think, you know, from their usage earlier this year, where Eckler saw, well, how many targets was it? I know he had 8 catches.
Because I don't think, because like even like Mike Williams, wasn't seeing a ton of targets. Like, so if you look at Mike Williams over the last 4, he's seen 8, 4, 10, and 5. Like, it's not like he's out here seeing this massive bump in targets. It's been Keenan Allen who's seen a lot of targets from them. He's been peppered with targets. If you look over the last span, 9, 14, 11, 6, and 11. So he's kind of stolen a little bit of Austin Eckler's shine. And so it does worry me a little bit with Austin Eckler, considering how much you're paying to get up there at $8,300, because I think there's a path where I would much rather prefer to pay up a wide receiver than I'd rather pay up a running back. Because like you mentioned, like Elijah Mitchell is 100% a thing. Mm-hmm. And he is extremely cheap at $4,700. And so I think you could go there with Elijah Mitchell. And then with Christian McCaffrey, I don't know if we really hit on it. I don't think we really talked about it, but the weather in that game looks pretty bad for that. And I don't think the pass catching work is going to be there. And I think you see with Seattle, like if this is going to be a very ground and pound type football game, then you're right. I don't think Christian McCaffrey probably sees a ton of targets. I don't think they have to do a whole lot. I think they can kind of manhandle Seattle. They've kind of crushed them both times they played them this year. And so if that happens, then I think Christian McCaffrey's not really worth it. And he's going to be popular on this slate. And maybe even you just leverage that and go all the way down and play Elijah Mitchell, who's only $4,700. The other running backs on this slate, Saquon Barkley, like Minnesota, he can definitely be had on the ground and really on the ground over the last 4. I think they're 28th in rush DVOA over that span. And so, I mean, Saquon, obviously, you know, he's the focal point of that offense. He's the best weapon they have. and can definitely see, you know, his fair share of targets. He actually saw 10 targets in that game when they played Minnesota, the last 8 targets in that game. So if I was going to pay up, I think I would rather pay up for Saquon. Dalvin Cook is in play as well. He's 7K. The Giants' rush defense is really, really bad. And so you could do that. Tony Pollard, since kind of getting injured, he hasn't really looked great. I think that, you know, I think he's fine. You know, I know, what was it, they call it, like a thigh bruise or something like that, I think is what he had. But I do agree. I think Travis Etienne and Leonard Fournette, just price be damned, I think is probably the best two options you can get. On the Buffalo side, maybe people want to get there, but Miami is really good against the run. And Devin Singletary and Rashad White and James Cook have basically been splitting touches and splitting snaps, like, down the middle. And so if you wanted to play James Cook at $4,800, you could. I don't necessarily love it because, again, I just don't love how that game script is going to go. And so for me, like, I think it is. I think you've kind of mentioned it. I think Leonard Fournette, Travis Etienne, I think I you know, if I can fit him in, I want to play Saquon Barkley and maybe some Dalvin Cook in that game. James Cook, I think, Joe Mixon, I think, is fine as well if you wanted to do that. He has been heavily involved in the passing game this year. I think he has over 60 receptions on the year, which is by far the most he's had in the season. Even last week in a game where they kind of controlled against Baltimore, he had 5 targets in that game as well. And so I do think Joe Mixon is also at $6,800. I think you could look at him as well if you wanted to play another running back there.
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree. I just think running back's kind of gross on this slate, to be honest, outside of the obvious ETN. And then I do like Fournette, $5,300 against Dallas, who's had some run-stopping issues over the last few weeks. Jeff Wilson, definitely in consideration if Mostert were to miss. Dude, we see it every week. Pollard's always 5%. And I know Derek played him last week. He shot me a text at like 1 a.m. in the morning, my time. I was already asleep. But he was like, dude, I'm playing Tony Pollard. He's sub 5%. So I would expect D-Bro to have more Tony Pollard interest this week, too. And I mean, it's a spot, you know, where they're going to have to rely on Dak. And Pollard's a big part of that pass game. They have to utilize him to take pressure off of CD and Schultz.
But you don't think they'll do what they've pretty much done the last 2 years when they played the Bucs and just completely abandon the run? Because that's kind of what they've done. That's kind of been their MO.
Well, if they do, that's good for Pollard. Because Zeke's definitely used in pass protection. Because Zeke is very good at that. And, you know, he does catch a couple passes a game. But we've seen Pollard's had games of like 8 to 10 targets this year. So like he's like Philly, he had 8 targets. 5 against Jax, 5 against Houston, 6 against Minnesota, 6 against Green Bay, 7 against Cincy earlier in the year. And those have really correlated with his big games this year. So, and I know a couple of those were when Zeke was out, like that stretch weeks 10 and 11 against Green Bay and Minnesota when Pollard nuked the slates. But I mean, if they just are going to rely on Dak, I mean, I think that's a boost to Pollard personally.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, like, I know he's $6,400, but if that's all he gets and he doesn't really see a whole lot of work in the running game, I don't know, because I feel like that's kind of be what we're going to see. I know the last time they played, I guess they only scored 3 points, so it's hard to really take a whole lot away from that. I'm going to guess that they're going to score more than three points in this game. But, and don't get me wrong, I mean, Tony Pollard has been my guy all year. I love Tony Pollard, like, but it just doesn't feel like the spot that I would necessarily want to get to.
I think he's better reserved for a game stack personally. I would only click his name if game stacking that game. But I agree. I think one of Saquon or Eckler and then ETN is probably the way to go at running back this week, honestly. Or Fournette.
What are your thoughts about Kenneth Walker?
I'm out. I'm good on that.
The thing that with him is he's so explosive that...
But Pollard isn't?
Well, he is. But I think game script-wise, this game is going to be different. Because if we're talking about the weather that it looks like it could be with high winds, rain, heavy downpours, like neither team is going to be throwing the ball. And so you're really going to be neutering it to where you're going to have to run the football. And Kenneth Walker, I mean, obviously, he has three straight games over 100 rushing yards. You know, obviously, that's, you know, the Rams have been really good against the run for the most part this year. The Jets have been really good against the run. You know, the Chiefs have at times have been really good against the run as well. I think he is somebody that maybe could go a little bit overlooked here. I know it's not necessarily the greatest spot. I know San Francisco has been pretty good this year, but he's also been utilized a little bit in the passing game. So if they're going to, maybe do some short dump offs, I mean, he could be somebody that, like, the last time they played, he saw five targets in that game. Like, he's just so explosive that, I could see him ripping off a 60-yard touchdown, and he's $6,100. So he's a little bit cheaper than Pollard. But this game script kind of tells me that that's the way this game is going to be played. And he's $6,100, and he's going to have no ownership whatsoever because it's the 49ers. And, I don't hate it. Like, it's more of a tournament play, but he could be a guy who ends up scoring, a touchdown or two, and it really wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, my thing with him is, I mean, you go through his game logs. He only has two games over 20 DK points this year. And granted, they were both 30-point games, but those came against the Chargers and Arizona, who are arguably the two best running back matchups on the board in the NFL this year. So, every other game that he's played, and I mean, he didn't start week one against San Francisco, so you throw that one out. But he did have only had 47 rush yards against San Francisco a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, he probably gets you 15, but I think that, one of the big boys like Saquon or Eckler is going to end up with 25 to 30. And then I think ETN also is going to flirt with 20-25 as well. And then one of the cheap guys, whether it's Fournette or Jeff Wilson, I think will flirt with 20 plus also. So I don't know. I think it's thin on the slate. And especially with, I'd rather just play Pollard if going for an explosive guy on limited touches.
Yeah. I don't know. I love Tony Pollard, but it just makes it, I don't know. I just don't love it. Like, it's not out of the question that Tampa Bay just smacks the shit out of the Cowboys.
This weekend. You're not wrong. Not wrong.
So, I don't know.
Tom Brady has never lost to Dallas, so.
Well, that's because Dallas are frauds, but.
Yeah. No, they suck, so. Their offense is good, but their defense has won them a lot of games this year. And Dak has thrown a lot of pick sixes, yes, but a lot of them have actually bounced off of the receiver's hands and into the defender's hands. So, like, they're not all his fault. Granted, he has taken a lot of risks in some of the throws he probably shouldn't have made. But, I mean, that's the type of quarterback that he's been. He makes aggressive throws. And this year, it's just not bounced in his favor, a few times. And so, like, everybody's saying that, Dak is losing them games. But Dak throwing pick sixes is actually very good for Dak when you stack Dak, because then Dak has to throw the ball even more. So it's a pass funnel matchup for Dallas. I agree. I don't think they're going to lean on Zeke and Pollard in the run game, but I think, the running backs can be involved through the pass game there. And I definitely could see Tampa Bay winning that game for sure. Because Dallas has, I guess what I was saying is Dallas has won a lot of games this year relying on their defense to get takeaways, in the early and middle part of the season. And now that they've got key injuries, especially in the secondary, they've been very, very exploited. So if Dallas is going to win this game, they're going to have to score a lot of points, I think. And so that plays for a shootout.
Yeah. Well, my best ball portfolio has a lot of Bucks. So the fantasy playoff best ball stuff I've been doing.
Yeah, I need to get some Bucks stats in there.
Nobody
yeah.
takes like Chris Godwin's going incredibly late in those. I can get him almost free. Mike Evans, like all these dudes, like nobody wants these guys. Leonard Fournette. So I've just been stacking up Tom Brady, Leonard yeah. Fournette, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. And it's so easy to do. And I mean, I've kind of been saying this for a while that it feels like would it shock anybody if Tom Brady runs this table and goes and makes the Super Bowl? No,
The NFC isn't very good.
No, the NFC is really bad, in my opinion. And, like, there's just nobody that really, like, oh, man, the Eagles are obviously a good team and have, good offense, good defense. But wouldn't surprise me, to see the Bucks just all of a sudden run the table and make the playoffs and win and go to the Super Bowl. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Let's go ahead and jump over to wide receivers. I think it's a good time because I think it's very easy if you pay down at running back to pay up and go Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Stephon Diggs if you want. Like, it's definitely there. You can definitely make it happen. You know, and especially if you wanted to do like a short stack of like Daniel Jones and like Darius Slayton, play him in the flex or whatever, something like that. But it's something you definitely could look at doing because Justin Jefferson is only $8,400, who's been over 9K or 8,900 at least for most of the season. And now he's $8,400. Ja'Marr Chase is 8K. Tyreek Hill, $7,900. CeeDee Lamb, $77. Stephon Diggs is $7,600. Keenan Allen is only 7K. And then you have Mike Evans, who's 69. Jaylen Waddle, 66. T. Higgins, Chris Godwin, DK Metcalf, Mike Williams, who is very questionable at this point, and Tyler Lockett lock up the top 6K and above wide receivers. What are you doing at wide receiver this week? Like, who are the wide receivers you really are looking want to play the most outside of even game stack?
You have to like Justin Jefferson. He's had two duds in a row, and he just nuked this Giants secondary 3 weeks ago for 35. I mean, there's no way if Minnesota goes down this weekend, there's no way they go down without throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson. So I have heavy interest in him. $8,400 is definitely too cheap for what he typically has brought this year. So he's a $9,900 to $9,500 wide receiver, and he's now $8,400 because it's a short slate. They're catering to the casuals who want to be able to play whoever they want, but. Yeah, you have to like Justin Jefferson at 84. I definitely prefer him to Ja'Marr Chase and Tyreek Hill. CeeDee Lamb, I have heavy interest in him if you're game stacking Dallas and Tampa Bay. Even if you're not, I mean, you have to have him in consideration just because he's been very, very good over the last, really 8 weeks. 41 against Green Bay, 21 against the Giants, 21 against Indy, 22 against Jacksonville, 37 against Philly, 24 against Tennessee. So, he's been, very good from a 20 to 25 standpoint, but he also has flashed the ceiling of 30 plus as well. So in a game that Dallas should just focus on the pass, CeeDee Lamb is their guy at the wide receiver position. So you have to have interest in him. Diggs absolutely shreds man coverage, and Miami plays a lot of it. I know he didn't have a good game in week 15. Really either game this year, only 14 and 10 points. But he's definitely a guy who can get the best of any of those corners on Miami. So you have to have interest in Diggs at 7,600. I think Keenan Allen's going to end up very, very popular this week, 7K. I'm not sure I'm going to click the button, but I mean, his volume has been absurd. I mean, he is just getting fed, 11 to 15 targets on a weekly basis. So definitely some interest there, but I think he's going to garner a lot of ownership. And I mean, Chargers are traveling east, they just no showed against Denver. They absolutely could no show here against Jacksonville. And I wouldn't be shocked at all. So definitely a little concern there. We already mentioned, Dallas and Tampa Bay. So you have to like Mike Evans. You have to like Chris Godwin in that game. T. Higgins at 6,500 is comical. Why is he priced that low? I'm not sure, because he's pretty much been, on par with Ja'Marr Chase over the last two seasons from a per game standpoint. And we know he has 30 plus point upside and can get the best of those secondary corners that he should face against Baltimore. So I definitely think T. Higgins is interesting, even though I'm not on Joe Burrow this week. They could just roll all the production to one guy, and it could definitely be T. So you have to have interest in him. Outside of that, the San Francisco guys are cheap, but I just don't see myself going there. We mentioned Josh Palmer. If Mike Williams is out, definitely a good play. Even DeAndre Carter, if Mike Williams is out, is a solid play. Gabe Davis at 4,800 feels free, but I mean, Gabe Davis has just felt like a trap all year, right? It's like every week Gabe Davis gets cheaper, and we keep saying that he's a good buy low candidate, that he can smash the slate, and then he goes out and gets 7 points. So it's like, at what point is Gabe Davis just, not this great play anymore?
I've gotten to the point where I actually just think he's fucking terrible. Like, he's not a good football player. Like I'm done with believing that
yeah,
he is a thing. Like every week. We also hyped him up because of like what happened because of the playoffs last year.
He nuked
the
playoffs last year. Yeah,
he crushed in that game, and like we all thought that he was going to be this thing, and you're attached to Josh Allen, and he was going to see a lot of targets. And he has. I mean, he has multiple games this year with pretty decent targets. I mean, last week against New England, he had 10 targets in that game, 3 catches, no touchdowns.
Yep.
6.9. He's just been really bad, and like it's something that. Obviously, we're not talking about the offseason, but the something the Buffalo Bills definitely need to figure out. Like, they need more wide receiver help. They still have Stephon Diggs, obviously. But, you know, like, they don't really have any elite options, you know, and Gabe Davis just isn't it. And, yeah, if you want to take a shot on Gabe Davis, by all means, you can. He's $4,800, and he's attached to Josh Allen. Maybe he does score a touchdown. He doesn't need to do a ton to get there. You know, he could, you know, even if he gives you 15, you know, I think it's more than good enough at $4,800 that he could get there. But I'm not expecting some nuclear performance from him, especially with the type of game script that this is. Now, next week, if depending on where he's priced, after playing the Bengals, then yes, he becomes a little bit more of an interesting play in terms of tournament play.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's like every week he just gets talked about, he gets popular, and I'm just like, his price just keeps going down, and he just doesn't producing fantasy points. So like, at what point do we just not play Gabe Davis anymore? And so I think I'm off the train, and this will probably be the week that where he pulls the Pittsburgh game where he catches a 99 yard touchdown on the first drive of the game. But you have to have interest in Zay Jones at 4,300. He's been, you know, arguably the 1B in that offense to behind Christian Kirk. And even Kirk is playable at 5,900. I just really like the Jags this week. I think the Jags beat the Chargers personally. So I like the Jags offense at home there. And then the Giants are free. We talked about how much we love Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones had his second highest attempts of the year against Minnesota. And he had 42. So that should tell you, you know, that the Giants aren't afraid to throw the ball against Minnesota. And that's what teams have done against Minnesota all year, is just throw the ball against them because they're so bad in the secondary. So it's like Richie James, 3,900, Darius Slayton, 4,200, Isaiah Hodgins, 4,100. Like, all of these guys are free, and they've all been crushing over the last few weeks. So like, I don't know how you just don't play Richie James against the Vikings, who have just given up a ton of production to slot receivers. And against Minnesota, he had 11 targets, 8 catches for 90 yards, didn't score, and still scored 17 DK points. So 3,900, I mean, am I stupid for wanting to play all these Giants receivers, or like talk me out of them, please? Because I just want to click Slayton and Richie James.
It's such an incredible matchup. And like, if you look at Richie James, like, speaking of him, like, he has 40 targets over his last 6 games. Uh-huh. And that is top 12 among all wide receivers on this slate. And so that is weeks 12 through 17. I didn't include 18 in that because obviously that would there's skewed in that because obviously the Giants didn't really play. Some other teams rested some players. So I just went 12 through 17. And yeah, he's top 12 in targets over that span. And so 34 catches, 331 yards, you know, and so he doesn't have a touchdown that, you know, so he's a little bit more touchdown dependent, but he's their slot wide receiver, and he plays, and he gets a lot of targets from them, or from Daniel Jones. The last time they played, he saw 11 targets in that game, 8 for 90. If he can find the end zone, then, you know, he could be a smash play, but he's done it even without it. I don't know. That isn't correct. Now I see that he scored week 17. Oh, it was a rushing touchdown. That's what it was. So he actually has 2 rushing touchdowns. That's what I was missing, because those are passing. He has no receiving touchdowns or 2 rushing. But so they're also utilizing him a little bit on the ground as well. And so just Richie James, I think, has kind of morphed into what they probably were hoping with Wandale Robinson, right? That's kind of what they drafted him to be, kind of this guy. And that's what Richie James has stepped up to be. And so he's $3,900. And you're getting a player who is top 12 among all wide receivers on the slate in targets. And so, yes, he is 100% in play. Darius Slayton can definitely, you know, kind of, he's kind of the field stretcher for them, sort of that they utilize on deep passes. And so, you know, Darius Slayton could also be in play as well.
Slayton's going to nuke a slate one of these days.
And this could be the one. I mean, he's
been Hodgins and James getting the points over the last few weeks. And I think everybody's going to roll to Hodgins and James. And like DeBros mentioned in the comments, like, Hodgins has been their red zone guy. What if they don't make it to the red zone because Slayton's housed, you know, 2 40-yard bombs? So I don't know. I think at some point Slayton's going to nuke a slate, and this absolutely could be it.
Oh, absolutely. The last time these two teams played, 4 for 79 for him in that game. But and he was like you already mentioned, Zay Jones. He is incredibly too cheap at $4,300. He actually has more targets than Christian Kirk over that same span that I was just talking about. Zay Jones is actually 8th in targets. He has 48 over the last six games. And Christian Kirk has 40 over that span. So we've seen 8 more targets. And really, we'd probably be talking a little bit different about Zay Jones had Trevor Lawrence not just missed him. I mean, that was the easiest wide open touchdown that he had that he could possibly have, and just overthrew the ball by 10 yards at least. Just completely missed Zay Jones in the end zone in that game against the Titans last weekend. But Zay Jones has been really, really consistent. He's been really solid. He's been one of the best options, pass catching options for them. For Trevor Lawrence in this Jaguars offense. So Zay Jones, $4,300 is way too cheap as well. You know, I definitely agree there.
Didn't Zay nuke the Chargers earlier this year too? I feel like I'm pretty sure he just like he fits the scheme of how you want to attack the Chargers.
He went he scored 24.5 DK points. He scored 10 catches on 11 targets for 85 yards in that game.
He's I think Debro's mentioned how Zay Jones has been very good against zone teams this year. And I think Kirk has been their man beater. And I'm pretty sure the Chargers play a ton of zone. Derek's still in the chat, so he can definitely correct me if I'm wrong, but off the top of my head, that is what rings a bell. Which would line up with how they used Zay in the first matchup, right? I mean, if you said 12 targets. 11 targets, 12 targets. Like, that's a lot. And that was early in the year, too.
Chargers are very good against the slot.
Yeah, which would be Kirk. Yeah. So,
and then, I mean, if you want to go down further, you talked about DeAndre Carter. I mean, he saw 5 targets last week, but I think that he would be more involved if Mike Williams were to miss as well. And so he's $3,600. He's down here. You have T.Y. Hilton, who has emerged for the Cowboys.
He emerges for them when it's 3rd and 26 and Dak throws a 50-yard Hail Mary.
Yeah, but I mean, he's seen 5 and 4 targets over the last few games. So I mean, he's only $3,200.
He actually doesn't look bad.
No, he actually looks a little explosive. Like, he didn't look dead. You know, like I thought that he might have been, but. So I mean, he's somebody that you could look at, you know, even Noah Brown, if you really want to get, crazy, he's $3,100. Like, there's definitely some spots here we can get to that's running a little bit lower here, down here. You know, obviously, it's a little gross, but because like, so I know this. There's 6 games on this slate. It's not 3 like we would like on a Thanksgiving Day slate or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But there's going to be somebody that is down here that people just aren't looking at that's gonna end up having a big day. Like, it happens all the time. Like, Thanksgiving, like, it kills you. All of a sudden, random dude catches a – yeah, like, you know, just goes nuclear that nobody played. And so I think just getting a little bit different and trying to, you know, in some of your stacks you may be playing and incorporating some of these guys into your stack, I think can kind of set you apart as well.
I'm surprised you didn't mention Julio. He's back practicing in full, and haven't you been on him a couple of times this year? And I know he hasn't really shown a ceiling, but I mean,
I think you could. I mean, there has been weeks that he has seen a decent amount of targets. He saw 8 against San Francisco, 6 against New Orleans. I think he's at times he's looked good this year. Yeah. Obviously, you know, he's been banged up, but he has missed some time. But Russell Gage has kind of emerged as well as kind of a big favorite for Tom Brady as of late as well.
He got hurt last week. Did he come back? Or
as far as I know, I mean, he has no designation.
Okay. That I can so he see. Should be fine. Cause I was watching that that was on Red Zone. They showed that his touchdown and he like hurt his back pretty bad, but
yeah, he must have come back directly on his back.
Yeah. He must've come back in. He must be fine. Okay. Yeah. But Julio was out for that game too. I think Gage has been a thing when Julio's missed, so I'd be curious to see what the split is with Julio back. Well, I think they kind of eat into each other personally.
Julio is very much a part-time player. Like, he very much where he's probably going to play 40% of the snaps.
Oh, for sure.
You know. So I think there's enough room there for Russell Gage to also be able to eat as well. But those are kind of the wide receivers. Like, for I guess for the pay up options, I guess Justin Jefferson's where it's at for you. Like, that's the guy that you're gonna gonna gravitate towards the most.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to against the Giants. I mean, the Giants' secondary is not something you're worried about. Justin Jefferson can absolutely shit all over them. I think Tyreek Hill is kind of interesting, though.
Because if Teddy plays, I do have Tyreek Hill interest.
Yes.
If Skylar Thompson plays, I do not have Tyreek Hill interest.
No, I don't think I could. Skylar fucking Thompson.
Because those two games that Teddy started earlier this year, Tyreek had 29 targets across those two games. So, like, they're going to go down swinging. Like, the same exact philosophy I think that Minnesota has, where if Minnesota's going out, they're going out throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson. If Miami's going to lose, they're going out throwing the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So, I just think that, you know, they're going to go out with their best players. And if Teddy's at QB, he's definitely going to force feed. So,
yeah, I'm hoping that Teddy Bridgewater plays, just because I think it makes that game just a little bit more interesting and a little bit more palatable on the Miami side. Because Tyreek Hill, $7,900 Tyreek Hill, because Tyreek Hill can break a slate because of his just you get him the ball in space and allow him to do what he does, and he can go nuclear. This year against Buffalo, Week 15. He scored 21.9 catches on 13 targets, 69 yards and a score. And then week one, he only had 5.3, 2 catches on 4 targets in that game for 33 yards. But that secondary for Buffalo has been a little bit banged up, has lost some pieces.
If Teddy plays, are you stacking Teddy with Tyreek and Waddle? Teddy's 5,100. Tyreek's under 8K and Waddle's 6,600. I mean, it's affordable.
Oh, man. What if they started Mike Glennon?
Oh, God.
No neck or long neck Glennon.
I was about to say no neck. He's got the biggest neck in the world.
Well, him and Davis Mills are in a competition on who has the longest neck. But Skyler started. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be. But I think, I mean, at least there's some encouragement with Teddy Bridgewater that he's gotten in some limited. He got another limited practice today.
I'm doing a quick Twitter search to see if I can find any info on it. But yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at for wide receiver. I don't know if you have anybody else.
Yeah. I just want to mention Tyreek just because of his, you know, what he can do on a slate. And he's probably going to carry zero ownership. And then, you know, Keenan Allen, you already mentioned. I do think it's like Deebo Samuel being $5,700. I know Debro in the chat keeps bringing up Debo, but that weather's saying what it's going to be. I don't really want to play any of the 49ers pass catchers, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and the thing with 49ers is they've got like 9 guys that can score a touchdown. So it's like they can all just, you know, score 14 or 15 points and San Francisco scores 40. Like it's like none of their guys have ceilings outside of Kittle who can double tutty or I mean, yes, Debo can score twice. That's absolutely a thing, and especially can do it on the ground. So he's definitely somebody you can play by himself, and he's way cheaper in this week than he's ever been. So, I mean, I don't hate it. I would definitely – Clinton Mills only have turtle locks in their closets. Jesus.
I don't know. That shouldn't be that funny. As soon as I saw it, I lost it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Bulls only have turtlenecks in their closets. That is a good one.
But yeah, it's I think Debo or you know one of the running backs or Kittle. I would just one off them. I wouldn't stack up San Francisco just because they do so much random stuff and so many guys can score for them. Like I wouldn't be shocked to see Juwan Jennings catch a touchdown or something. Kyle Juice check. You know, people like that, Elijah Mitchell, CMC, Ayuk, Kittle, Debo, Ray McLeod. Like, there's just so many guys that they use, especially when they get down at the goal line. Backup tight ends.
Yeah, and then you're just dealing with weather, too. Yeah, concerns. Like I said, like, I mean, if it plays out the way you're talking, obviously, we're going to be able to make a decision because that's the first game on Saturday. And so, if you're playing the full slate, and I think it's looking like it's going to be as bad as Ben. Because, I mean, they have just been pounded in California with rain. over the last, yeah, you know, few weeks or whatever. And so
Cali's not built to handle all that.
No,
it never rains there.
Yeah. They. And so, I mean, they're talking about high winds right now. It's a, I think, I believe a yellow or orange on rotor grinders. Yeah. Yellow right now. And so, there's the potential for very, very heavy rain, strong winds in there. So,
okay. Definitely something to pay attention to.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just going to be off that game. It's the first game of the week. I'm just going to scratch that game off my list personally. Like defenses are in play. And we can talk about defense when we get there, but I don't even hate Seattle defense.
Yeah.
I'm good on wide receiver if you want to move to tight end.
Yeah, let's go over and jump over to tight end. So you have George Kittle up top at 61, Mark Andrews 52, TJ Hockenson at 51, Evan Ingram at 44, Dalton Schultz 43, Dawson Knox is 4K. Gerald Everett's 39, Isaiah Likely at $3,300. And then, you know, this is the rest of the bums down here. Guys like Mike Gesicki, Noah Fant, Hunter Hurst, and Daniel Bellinger, Kate Otten. All these guys are here. What are you doing at tight end? Or are you pretty much just sticking your tight end at whatever game stack you're going to be running for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think my tight end's probably going to be attached to the QB from the game. Like, if you're playing Brady and Dak, I mean, Schultz makes a lot of sense. Even Kate Otten's interesting there. If you're playing Daniel Jones, I would absolutely attach TJ Hockenson to that, considering the Giants had zero answer for TJ Hockenson 3 weeks ago. 16 targets, 39 DK points against the Giants. So I may just end up playing just Hockenson, but I definitely think the Dallas-Tampa Bay tight ends are in consideration. And then also, if you're playing Lawrence or Herbert, both Ingram and Everett have to be in consideration as well. But Hockenson would definitely be my top pick.
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on Isaiah Likely? You think – I have not been able to figure out why for the life of me with the Baltimore Ravens having literally no other pass catchers that they could trust – why they haven't tried to run more Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews together. Like, I know that you know, they're both obviously move tight ends, Isaiah Likely is clearly hashtag good at football. Like, we continue to see it anytime they give him, like, heavy usage. He comes through. Last week, he had 13 targets in that game, 8 catches for 103 yards against this same Cincinnati defense. And I don't know why they don't utilize both of them more. It just kind of blows my mind the way that this works. But he is kind of interesting. But with Mark Andrews Likely being active, like, I don't know, maybe just if you're wanting to a tight end from that game, then maybe you do just pay up, you know, to Mark Andrews if you can make it work. But I do think Isaiah Likely should be somebody that at least have some consideration because maybe they decide to finally utilize him more.
Yeah, until they show me that they're going to play both of them together at heavy usage, you just have to play if Mark Andrews, if he's in. If not, you play Likely. It just needs to be your flow chart. That's the only Ravens pass catchers I have interest in ever. It's because they don't ever throw the ball. They want to run it. And especially if Anthony Brown or whatever the guy's name is, I don't even know the third string quarterback's name. If he's in again, you know, he is so bad. It's like, I mean, he's going to have to throw because they're going to be behind, but I mean, it's going to be a very similar game script to last week. So Likely was the only receiver that they had and barely eclipsed the 100-yard mark. So with Mark Andrews coming back, you know, Andrews is going to get all those targets. So yeah, I mean, Likely can get, you know, 3 or 4 targets maybe, but he's not going to see 13.
In terms of just overall matchups, if you look at this, so I mean, Dawson Knox is in a good spot against Miami. They actually allowed the second most schedule adjusted PPR points to Miami, to tight ends. And so I do think Dawson Knox is a way you could look if you want to play him outside of a game stack. He is, you know, not overly expensive at only 4K. That spot is there for him. And then Jacksonville has also struggled against tight ends. They're actually third in schedule adjusted allowed to tight ends as well. So Gerald Everett at $3,900, but man, he's just frustrating as all get out. Really, to be honest with you, like his usage has dropped. I mean, almost tremendously. But another situation where, you know, with Mike Williams, you know, out, maybe they utilize Gerald Everett more, especially inside the red zone and they stuff could. Like that if they need to. So Gerald Everett at $3,900, you could look there as well, I think, as another tight end. But I agree, Dalton Schultz, Evan Engram, you know, or whoever tight end, you know, whatever game stack you're running, I think you could look to do that as well. Outside of maybe Daniel Bellinger, I don't know if I go there. Maybe you could, but, I mean, he's 3K. But he just doesn't see a whole lot of
targets. I would just play Hockenson.
Yeah, just as a run back or, you know, as a run back option or something like that. Yeah, it's just tough to trust him.
Debo like Parham.
Parham punt. Yeah, I mean, sure, if you want. I don't know. That feels a little thin, but.
I agree. I think it's thin.
Yeah. Let's look at defense. So you got the cheap defenses. You have the Bucks, and the Jags. The Giants aren't crazy at 3K, but you have the Dolphins all the way down here at $2,300. You have the Seahawks at 24, Ravens at 25. Who are you looking to play?
If I'm paying down, it's definitely Seattle or Tampa Bay, or even I honestly don't even hate Jacksonville. Two of those three are home teams. You could sell me on the Giants against primetime Kirk Cousins. But I like Jefferson and Hockenson too much that I'm not going to end up there. And then I probably won't end up paying up. I mean, the 49ers are the obvious one at 3,600. But, I mean, even them, like you and I have talked, you know, we've kind of talked all week that the 49ers definitely have some concerns, at least on the defensive side of the ball. You know, giving up a ton of production to Stidham 2 weeks ago. And then, you know, Blau comes out and throws a 70-something yard touchdown to A.J. Green on the first place from scrimmage for the Cardinals or whatever it was. It's like yes, San Francisco is very good. And their front four allows them to do a lot of things on defense that other defenses can't do because they can generate pressure on the quarterback without having to blitz. So they can, you know, drop more guys into coverage. But I mean, if they don't get to the quarterback, I mean, there's definitely been issues with that San Francisco defense. So the secondary mainly. I think San Francisco definitely isn't this unbeatable team that a lot of people thinks they are. And I guess all of that to say, I don't know that I'm going to pay $3,600 for a defense. But on the flip side, if Seattle's trailing and playing in bad weather, I mean, that is a good recipe for turnovers. So
let me ask you, how shocked would you be if Seattle beat San Francisco? Because I'm going to say not at all. I would not be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, Seattle's definitely not bad, and they play Seattle. So the way that Seattle plays, and I mean, you mentioned this when you talked about Kenneth Walker. Seattle just wants to grind you down and just keep it a one score possession every single game for the entirety of every game. Like whether they're winning by one touchdown or losing by one touchdown, they don't really care as long as they have a shot to win when it's all said and done. And like they've been that way, even with Russ, when Russ actually looked halfway decent for them. Like they never blew teams out. It's always been, you know, let's just win and grind these close games. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if it's a low scoring close game. And I mean, Vegas kind of agrees. It's a 42 total. I mean, the spread's 9.5. So that's kind of, they're kind of baiting you to take that, you know, 9.5 San Francisco line. And I feel like that's kind of trappy. Like I feel like that game could end up as a one touchdown game. So and I guess that all of that to say is, you know, I think the Seattle defense is interesting. I mean, it's Brock Purdy's first playoff game, right? Playoffs are a little bit different than the regular season. So,
well, we talked about this prior too, and I don't think San Francisco is as good as everybody's making them out to be. Like they literally have played really nobody. I mean,
yeah.
But on the flip side, kind of we talked about is that, you know, well, there's not really a lot of teams in the NFC that that really worry you, and so it is possible that they make a deep run. Like,
I mean, we're sitting here talking about Tampa Bay to make a deep run when Tampa Bay struggled to beat Carolina and New Orleans and fucking
Atlanta, and they got smoked by the same San Francisco team. But
yeah, exactly. So it's like all of it circles back to the NFC is not good. The AFC definitely has the three best teams in the NFL. I think that all three of the Bengals, Bills, and Chiefs are better than Philly, and I think Philly's better than San Francisco. So. Yeah, I would not be shocked to see the NFC just completely turn on its head at all.
Yeah, So I don't know. Anyways, that being said, there was a question here I was going to try to get to, but I forgot we wait. Oh, Legendary Pest Control just running in, doing a playoff fantasy league. Who you got to make it to the Super Bowl? Who do you got?
My pick is Kansas City. And I know that they don't – I don't know. If you're doing a fantasy playoff league, I mean, obviously they have a bye. But I think Kansas City makes it out of the AFC. And I will say – it's definitely – my pick would be definitely one of San Francisco or Philly from the NFC. I'll say Philly too. I know that's the 2-1 seeds, but I think they're the two best teams.
If I was drafting
for a playoff – fantasy league, I would prioritize Cincinnati and Buffalo because those are two teams that could beat Kansas City and make it to the Super Bowl, and they play this week too. So you'll get points for them this week, if that makes sense.
No, I don't hate that either. And I think both of those teams are good enough to knock off the Chiefs. Now, unfortunately, they have to play each other next week.
Yeah. But that's a good thing too, is if, you know, you definitely get, if you were to go, you know, load up somehow, get both Bills and Bengals on your team, you're pretty much guaranteed AFC championship guys, unless one of them gets upset this week. But I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. Because I think AFC championship is probably Kansas City and Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's better than Buffalo is. And I think the fun times come to an end after this weekend. I think Cincinnati can beat them. And the Bengals can definitely beat the Chiefs. I mean, they did it this year. They did it last year twice.
Yeah.
But I also feel like the Chiefs kind of need to get that monkey off their back. That's been the one team that's really given Patrick Mahomes problems. I mean, there's really no other team that has. I mean, they've steamrolled the AFC West every single year, and they beat the Bills quite regularly, especially in the playoffs. So that's
I want a rematch so bad of Kansas City Buffalo.
Well, yes,
I want that so bad.
So, and the NFC, I'm going to go, I think it's Bucks and I think it's Bucks or the Eagles. I was going to say another team, but I can't bring myself to do it.
You know what's going to happen is Brady's from the Bay Area. And so what's going to happen is the Giants are going to upset Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And Tampa Bay is going to beat Dallas. So Tampa Bay will play San Francisco. And Brady's going to walk into San Francisco where he's from. He's going to pull his giant wiener out and flop it all over their foreheads. And then he's going to take Tampa Bay to the NFC Championship against Philly. That's what's going to happen. So,
but there's this part, so I was kind of talking through this today with some people I work with. And like, I could see the Giants beating the Eagles too. Like, the Giants have, you know, this is another team that's played them, you know, three times. Like, it really wouldn't surprise me. Like, would it be wild to see the Giants in the NFC Championship game?
It wouldn't. I think Philly matches up with what Philly wants to do on offense, matches up so well with what the Giants allow. It's like Giants in that Wink Martindale offense, they blitz a lot. You know, a lot of one-on-one coverage with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on the outside. And you can run on the Giants, too. So, I think that the Giants just won't really be able to have enough offense to keep up with Philly scoring. I think it's kind of a long shot.
That's why I think championship game is probably, I think Bucks and Eagles is what I'm
going. I wouldn't be shocked one bit if Tampa Bay made a run here.
Yeah. It's kind of what I've been talking about for a while, is that this is what's going to happen. It's almost inevitable, but like Brady's just kind of like chilling back, relaxing. Now he's kind of like, you know, now he's like, all right, playoffs are here. Now it's time for me to do my thing. And, you know, what, he's won a Super Bowl. Was it like, almost, I think it's what, every other year or something like that.
And the mental mind fuck that you go through when you're playing against Tom Brady on the other side of you in the playoffs. It's like that messes with your head. Right. And like, people can say that it doesn't, but it does. And it's like, I mean, the Chiefs were favored by like, I don't even know how many points it was for the Chiefs to beat Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl, and Brady just like waltzed all over them. That was a blowout.
I have left that game well in the past.
Yeah, I'm sure you men in blacked your memory on that one.
Yeah, that was brutal. That's whenever the Chiefs decided they need to get an offensive line. And so thank you, Tom Brady, for that. Because I don't know if they would have went out and completely revamped their entire offensive line. So
yeah, Mahomes was running for his life that whole game.
Yeah, that was the game was where bad. He was literally sideways.
Yeah, sideways
through the ball.
And who dropped it?
Was it Damian Williams?
It should have been a touchdown.
I think it was Damian Williams who dropped.
Didn't it hit him in the face mask?
Yeah, should have been a touchdown.
That would have been like the greatest touchdown pass of all time.
Yeah, and I mean they still would have got smoked. So they didn't
really they would. It's like what's the baseball meme where it's like, oh, Nick Castellanos long drive to deep left field. That's a 3-run homer, and now the Reds trail 17-3. Like that's what the highlight would have been.
Yeah. So. All right, let's. Fuck you, D bro. Fuck you. We didn't love that game. Nobody loved that game. Okay, D bro. All right, just because the Saints gave up.
I had so much money on Kansas City. It was disgusting.
All right, let's build a lineup. Let's build a lineup. We usually do that directly after we just kind of went through this. So let's build a lineup. Go ahead. Let's yeah, you can start.
Daniel Jones.
All right, Daniel Jones.
I hope he's not popular because I just want to play him.
Let's play Richie James.
All right, let's run back Hockenson.
You know what? Let's go Chris Godwin.
CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, I don't think it's a three running back week. You do not play running back in the flex on this slate. Absolutely not.
Do we think about going Saquon in this stack? Or could we?
You could. I mean, he had 10 targets last time they played Minnesota. I mean, it's definitely viable. He catches enough passes that it works.
That wouldn't work. I was trying to see if we could play Justin Jefferson as well with Saquon and all this. It wouldn't work. We'd have to find it. There's no such thing as a $2,700 running game. So that's not going to work. And we still could play Jefferson. I would just have to find a different running back.
Yeah, you can't play Saquon. You have to pick one of the two.
Let's go Justin Jefferson and see if we can figure this thing out.
All right.
So I think we could go Lenny.
Yeah, let's go Lenny.
We need a defense. Let's just say fuck it and go Seattle.
Yep.
That leaves $5,200 on the board. And that would leave us with... What about if we go Elijah Mitchell?
I'm good with Mitchell.
Or we could go James Cook.
I think... Yeah, I mean, I'm good with going Cook and getting Bills exposure that way. I mean, they're both part-time running backs, right? You're just looking
for... jump off of Hockenson if you're expecting Jefferson to go nuclear?
They both smashed the Giants. Hockenson had 39 and Jefferson had 35.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, he had 38.
Like, that's just how they attacked the Giants was, hey, okay, Hockenson and Jefferson, that's all you're going to get. That's just how they did it. So, it's definitely viable if they both get there. What we could do, I was going to say we come off Lamb and play Pollard. That would open up a ton of salary. Then you could go, actually, I might be down for that. You can do Pollard and ETN. Or put Pollard up at running back and not play ETN. You can play like T. Higgins. Kind of like Lamb, though. He smashes. Or there's another route. We can play Saquon. And then in the flex, you can put Darius Slayton for a double giant stack and just go full blown. That would actually be a triple giant stack, actually, if you played Slayton down there. You play Zay Jones. Yeah, you could do that. I actually don't hate that at all. So what I have, the shell that I have in right now, so it'd be Daniel Jones, Fournette, Barkley, Richie James, Godwin, Jefferson, Hockenson, Zay Jones. So that would be two Tampas with no Dallas run back with three Giants and two Minnesotas with a Zay Jones one off. And that leaves you 3,100 for the defense. You do something like that. But it depends how bad you want a Dallas guy in with the Tampa Bay guys.
So, or we could do Daniel Jones, Leonard Fournette, Elijah Mitchell, Richie James, Chris Godwin, Jefferson, Hockenson, CeeDee Lamb. And then you'd have $2,900 up for defense, or you could just lock in the Seahawks 24, leave $500 on the table is also an option. You could do
too. I am good with Mitchell and Lamb for sure.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I like that more. So,
yeah.
Let's lock that in. So we'll go Daniel Jones, Fournette, Elijah Mitchell, Richie James, Chris Godwin, Justin Jefferson, Hockenson, CeeDee Lamb, and Seattle D with $500 left on the table. I like it.
Works for me.
That's going to win all the monies there. So we'll lock that in and... Was there? Oh, yeah. Just built one. Brady, Eckler, Fournette, Justin Jefferson, Godwin, Richie James, Bellinger, ETN, Tampa Bay defense. Thoughts?
Brady, Fournette, Godwin, Tampa DST. That's just a Bucks onslaught there with no Dallas run back. Eckler, Jefferson, James, Bellinger, ETN. I mean, it's got the lineup has probably the best, you know, floor plays of the slate, right? It's got Eckler, Jefferson, and ETN. Arguably the three best floor plays outside of Saquon. And you've got just a Bucks onslaught. Only guy I'm not sold on there is Bellinger.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. Bellinger, just because, like I said, like he just doesn't see a whole lot of opportunity whatsoever. He mainly sees like three targets.
If I was playing a Brady team and punting tight end, I'd probably just attach Otten to him. But I don't know that I would want Fournette, Godwin, and Otten. I guess you could. I mean, if you're playing Brady, you're hoping he throws three or four touchdowns. It's definitely viable.
So we have Justin Jefferson, Godwin, Richie James at 39. I just want to see if I can play with this a little bit. Flex, he has ETN. And DST, we have the Bucks. Because to me, like, I feel like if I was going to play that, I think... I don't know if I would go Eckler. Like, I think you could drop Eckler and
slide ETN up to the running back spot.
Right.
Play CeeDee Lamb on the other side.
Or Schultz.
Or you can play Schultz in the tight end spot and then do whatever you want in flex instead of CeeDee Lamb.
And then if you're wanting a run back on the Charger side, that leaves you just enough to get to Keenan Allen at 7K. And so you could go Brady, ETN, Fournette, Justin Jefferson, Godwin, Richie James, Schultz, Keenan Allen, and Bucks D.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. I agree too. I think that looks a lot better.
I'm just such a firm believer, and both you and Derek know this, of just playing.
And playing Otten with the tight end.
Yeah, you can play Otten, but just the tight end from that game in general. When games go off, the tight ends usually go with it. It's because they're a lot of times they're responsible for touchdowns. So,
I mean, it's possible too. If you didn't want to play that many Bucks, if you don't want to, you know, feel comfortable, you could play Otten instead of him. And it would actually give you enough to get to like somebody like Tony Pollard at $6,400. He would be back in play. You could do that because that would leave you at $6,800 at running back. If you didn't want to play Fournette and you wanted to switch, you could do something like that. Or drop down from Keenan Allen and play somebody a little bit cheaper. That you could do that too, and that would free you up enough money, maybe. I guess then from there, if you wanted to go back to Eckler, for example, and play Eckler and ETN, you could do that, and then that would still leave you $500.
Or if you don't want to play Schultz, you can drop Schultz to Otten and then upgrade Keenan Eckler to like a Jamar Chase or something. Keenan Allen. So it would look like Brady, Fournette, ETN, Jefferson, Godwin, Richie James, Otten, and then I'm guessing you would have enough for one of the big boy wide receivers like Jamar Chase. You could definitely do that too.
Yeah.
Or even CeeDee Lamb if you want the Dallas run back. And then you could play San Francisco defense.
Yeah, there's a lot of different stuff. I wouldn't play.
I definitely think it's a good starting spot though, if you like Tom Brady. Like that's a very good spot to start your team. With that build there. I like that team a lot. I just wouldn't play Bellinger.
Like we discussed. I agree. So, all right. Well, with that being said, we went through this slate. It's not nearly as bad as last week's slate, but it's not as good as what it could have been. If Tua had played and Lamar Jackson would play, then this slate, I think, could have been awesome. Next week's slate does look like it's going to be, unless some crazy injuries happen this weekend or something like that, could be amazing, where we could be seeing the Bills and the Bengals take on each other again. You're going to see either the Chiefs and the Chargers, which typically are pretty high scoring, or the Chiefs and the Jaguars, which could also be high scoring as well. That game looks like it could be really good. NFC Eagles are back in play. We're looking at probably Eagles and what? I guess it's going to depend on if the Giants can knock off the Vikings or not. If they don't, then we'd probably looking at what, Vikings and 49ers probably.
It would be Vikings, 49ers, and then Eagles and Tampa or Dallas.
Yeah. So next week in slate does look really, really good. So I'm excited for the divisional round, but didn't want to get too far ahead of it. I still think this weekend could definitely win you some money. I like how there's multiple different slates, Saturday, Sunday only, and then you have the Saturday to Monday, plus all the showdowns are going to be going on as well. So a lot of money to be made this weekend. So appreciate everybody rocking with us. We will be back again next week for the divisional round, and we've been promised by D-Bro. I'm sure he jumped out, so I couldn't hold him to it, but we have been confirmed that he said he is going to be here next week. So if he's not here next week,
get your pitchforks and your fire and your hand grenades.
Yep.
And we're going to D-Bro's house.
I will track him down and I will find him, much like they said. Okay. He gave his word. So
he said he's driving in the car to Disney World. I hope he's got us like on the speakers right now, with his whole family listening, that we're coming to get him.
Daddy, what is going on? So anyways, keep it locked in here. Have a good weekend. Let's win some money this weekend. We'll be back again for the divisional round next week. Have a good weekend. Win some money. Bye. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. But you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got. It measures in ounces. But that's a break, boy. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a breaks, boy. Yeah, that's a breaks, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just not wanting me to be someone else.